Then we will begin. And hopefully that won't happen again. That was
hopefully
weird.
Not, but at least I'm on the moderator line. If it does, we won't lose the entire call. So
right.
That's good.
Yes. All right. Well, here we are officially. As I said, welcome to another NABBW teleseminar, or maybe I didn't say that yet because of my discombobulation here, but here we are. Welcome, and tonight we're discussing a topic of huge interest to baby boomer authors, how to market your books. As Rhonda has said, and as we've discussed, authors don't often think when they start writing that marketing is going to have to be part of what you do, so it's something that takes a lot of authors by surprise, and it's important to discuss how we can do that. So in a moment, I'll introduce our guest expert, Rhonda Del Baccio, author, coach, mentor, and NABBW's entrepreneurial authoring expert, to start our discussion titled Boomer Book Marketing Tips and Shortcuts. But before I do that, I'd like to introduce myself and tell you a little bit about the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and I'll be brief with that because I know we've got lots to cover here tonight. But I'm Ann Holmes, your moderator and the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, an organization dedicated to educating and empowering women at midlife. You can find us on a number of places online, including our website, which is found at www.nabbw.com. We have a forum at boomerwomenspeak.com, and our Facebook page, the newest site, is gaining a lot of traction lately, and you can find that at facebook.com/NABBW. Now, if you haven't any chance to recall all those URLs that I just threw at you, don't worry. Just search on the keywords Baby Boomer Women, and you'll find all of our sites at the top of the first page. Our NABBW teleseminars are one of the many benefits we provide our members. And as I believe everyone on the call knows, this live call is free whether you're an NABBW member or not, so it's available to the public. But we also have a collection of hundreds of past teleseminar recordings that are available in the private area on our website. And those are one of the many benefits that NABB membership offers. So that said, I'll say get comfortable. Make sure you have paper and pen because I know you're going to want to take some notes. And for the next 45 minutes or so, I'm going to have the lines muted. Rhonda and I will be discussing tonight's topic, and then I'll open the lines for questions from our listening audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, use that box on your computer screen to type it in, and I'll be able to see that and pass it on when it's appropriate. Okay. I think I've covered all of that housekeeping stuff, so let's get on with introducing Rhonda. Rhonda Del Baccio, I believe, probably doesn't need an introduction to our NABBW audience because she's a frequent guest and always covers important information related to authoring and book marketing. But I know we have a lot of guests on the call tonight who may not know her, so let me give you a brief introduction. Rhonda Del Baccio is a number one best-selling author, celebrity author mentor, and creator of the free 30-day Awakened Author Challenge. Her primary website is found at www.profitablestorytelling.com. Her proven bliss butterfly formula for author success teaches new and experienced authors alike the five key systems. That bliss is an acronym. So the five key systems are being, legacy, imprint, share, and serve. And if you follow her bliss rules, your dreams will be able to take flight like a butterfly. She also says that her Bliss Butterfly system transforms caterpillar visionaries and entrepreneurs into instant VIP authors, which I just love that whole concept of caterpillar to butterfly. So all of her life, people have opened up to Rhonda and shared their stories about their lives in the safe space that she innately offers. She's recognized globally as the Story Lady and has shared the stage with gifted marketers such as Ken MacArthur, Larry Bonet, who many of you have possibly heard of as The Connector, and best-selling author Dr. Ben Mack, who's I discovered earlier today has quite a site on Goodreads, and he's the author of Think Two Products Ahead and Poker Without Cards. But enough about Ben. Let's talk more about Rhonda. Although she is legally blind, which she says means that she's illegally sighted, Rhonda lives a full and active life. She travels to conferences, and nothing stops her. Rhonda is the number one best-selling author of several books, including The Peace Seed, personal and global transformation through storytelling, and a fantasy anthology, When Assassins and Allies Conspire, as well as several other titles, including one that she and I co-wrote, Activate Your Breakthrough, 23 Success Principles for Baby Boomer Women, Business Owners, and Entrepreneurs. We're delighted that those of you who are listening have joined us for this call, and now I ask you to help me welcome NABBW's own entrepreneurial authoring expert, Rhonda Del Baccio.
Hey! I am so excited to be here, Anne. This is really great, and all you NABBW ladies, the only thing I love is, well, I don't know if it's as much or more slightly, it's a tough race, but than being with authors is actually writing, and particularly writing transformational fiction and having fun with stories. So this is really quite special for me to be here with all of you tonight.
Oh, we're delighted to have you, too. As I've indicated to our audience, Rhonda, you and I have covered authoring topics many, many times on this program, and you always deliver wonderful information. So I'm sure that you've got wonderful new stuff that we haven't talked about before, and maybe a review of some stuff that we might have covered a few months ago, just because it's always good to review the solid good stuff. Why don't I therefore begin with my first question, which is, how did you first start working with authors to help them with their books?
While I answer this question, I'm just going to recommend that everybody grab a pen that writes and some paper, or open a file on your computer if you're in front of your computer, because things are going to get fast and furious here after we finish this question. I started because I love writing fiction. That's one of my very favorite assist things to do in the whole entire world. I just love it. And what happened was that along the way, I was one day kind of had this turning point that I was reading an article in a Writer's Digest magazine, basically said, if you want to be an author, get used to living with less, tighten the belt, you know, learn to light two lamps instead of three or whatever, that kind of stuff, and live in this sense of scarcity. And I was mad. I was absolutely livid. I threw down that magazine, and I said, I will not be a broke author. I shall be a profitable author. And away we went. So I began my journey of figuring out how to make that happen, and I will say it was an arduous journey in many senses because I did not come from any kind of a business or marketing or entrepreneurial background. And you came from a long line of entrepreneurs. Me, I came from a line of performers and teachers and that kind of thing. So really, it was a big stretch for me to learn anything entrepreneurial. So that's kind of what got me started. And really, why I chose to do that is that I know the same sense of pain and anguish that I've had in the past about wanting to be recognized and to be published and all of those things is the same thing that people go through now. And one of the questions before we started was, you know, like I have my profiles everywhere and all this stuff, and you know, I sell a couple of books, but I want it to be more. So I feel your pain, and I'm going to do my very best to help with that and with other issues that come up relevant to book marketing and trying to make things easy. And now there's a lot of ways to talk book marketing, but this is all going to be about how to make things easier and how to get the best possible leverage for your time. So hopefully that helps us, Anne.
All right. Well, before we talk more in all of detail about your book marketing strategies, you're starting to sound like maybe one of the things that you like best about authoring is marketing, which I'm not sure if you would have told me that if I maybe read between the lines wrong. So let me just ask, what part of authorship do you like best and why?
I love writing the stories, and I love getting the feedback. The only thing that's really cool to me about marketing per se is what marketing really means is connecting with your ideal customer and getting their feedback. And when somebody writes me a positive review, or they say something like this story touched me very deeply, or you know, whatever, those kinds of things, or when people have a light bulb over the head aha moment, that kind of stuff gets me jazzed, and that all comes from connection with people. So that's why I say, as much as I love the writing, the connecting with people I love really just about as much, because it really takes both. You can write and stuff everything in a drawer and know it and never sees the light of day, and for me that doesn't have the same satisfaction as putting it out there and taking my knocks and attagirls with the best of them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for answering my question on that. And I don't want to, I have the feeling that our listeners are chomping at the bit to get to these free or super affordable book marketing strategies. So let me say, why don't you tell us what the first one is?
All right. Well, so the first one is going to be Amazon.com itself. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned this because we had a question full of pain and angst about I have all my profiles and I'm here and there and everywhere and I'm not selling many books.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is that it is very important to have those profiles, and it's so awesome when you have those. And it is, and I'll be talking a little briefly about that, touching as we go by on that. The thing to remember, though, is that Amazon is a site that is meant to sell stuff. And so one of the things that has helped me get better traction selling books without me having to be the one that's pushing the cart, so to speak, as much,
mm-hmm.
is doing things like going into the Amazon search and going, well, see, if my story is a paranormal romance, what kind of words around paranormal romance are people putting in the search box? And just as a person can do with Google or other search engines, Amazon has the search box, and if somebody is looking for a paranormal romance or a cookbook or whatever it happens to be, they'll put stuff in the search, and it will start kind of auto-filling, like guessing what it is that you might be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing to actually start making either a spreadsheet or a notepad file or a Word file or something and putting all of those things in there, because that is then what you can do to put in, if you're self-publishing or even if you're with a publisher, you can rewrite the description and say, hey, dude, I want you to use these words and these phrases. I'm rewriting this description, and I'm giving it to you with the Amazon keyword phrases that are likely to bring up a search. So there's that for being able to put your book description to rights with those kind of phrases. And if you're self-publishing through Kindle or CreateSpace, or you have control over what phrases are being used, there is a place to put in Amazon's case, up to 7 phrases. And so pick the 7 phrases to start with that are where there is seems to be a lot of activity and a lot of searching going on. So Amazon is going to be helpful. There also are things like Amazon discussions, where you can start or participate in a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are Amazon reviews. This is all part of the Amazon. Amazon is all one. I'm just giving you all these different aspects, right? When you write reviews, if you write historical romance and you go around and you give honest, good, detailed reviews to others that write that stuff, same thing like you write, this will actually be helpful to you. And what has been phenomenal to me, and it was a big surprise, I, of course, read a lot of books and buy a lot of books relevant to Kindle marketing, book publishing, on all those kind of authory things, right, because I teach authors, and so I have to keep up on it, which is my pleasure.
Right.
I wrote a review of this book called Make a Killing on Kindle, which is a really good book, but it has some really bad chapters. So I gave an honest review. 250 or some 60 people or whatever, last time I looked, had said that the review was helpful to them. About 40 didn't, and I suspect they were the friends of the author because they didn't like my things. On one was unethical and a couple were downright wrong. But it's still I still gave it a 5-star despite that, but I gave a good review. But the funniest thing was, and why I'm bringing this all up, is because much to my amazement, there have been, I think, at least 15 comments on my review. Some of them were me replying back to other people's comments, but I'm like, it never occurred to me to comment on someone else's review. I guess it's like I hardly even knew the comment button was there, and now I'm like, oh, okay. So it really has gotten such a lively discussion on that particular book. My review has been in the top most helpful review position for at least 3 months, and it just is very interesting, you know. So things like that can help you sell books. They can help you attract people to your, whatever your main business is, if I work with authors, and things like that actually attract clients to me as well as people who buy books. And I don't have that many books out about publishing and marketing and that kind of stuff yet. So, you know, it hasn't hit as much for the book sales in that arena, but I will say I've had people who have found me, have seen me, online have seen my reviews, have seen my work, and have been swayed to want to work with me because of that. So do you think Amazon can help you? Yeah, because Amazon is a place where people go with their wallet open. They're either going to buy today or they're planning to buy something soon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing, is really take a look at Amazon with a fresh pair of eyes. Don't think of it as a catalog site, as like, I'm just putting my book here, it's listed. You know, my profile thing is listed, and yeah, I got my video up or my picture up, but it's not just that. Really realize that energy in book sales is all about energy, and that energy is all about the connection with people and the money that they spend to connect with you in whatever way,
mm-hmm.
Based on the value that you bring. So that's a real entrepreneurial shift that I wouldn't have had initially because I didn't come from an entrepreneurial background. So you got to put on money goggles, as Jason Oman would call them, put on money goggles and recognize that aspect. And let that be a good thing, because that's one of the ways that people reward you for, they like your stuff, they buy your book. It's not evil, nasty, bad, or foul, or whatever. It's just simply an exchange of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the rooster agrees. I'm outside on my deck. It's like 65 degrees out here, and it's just beautiful. So
wonderful.
Yeah, I'm out on my deck, and the rooster was talking.
Okay. Oh, now I didn't hear him earlier, but
he agrees.
Great.
Yeah,
all
he
right.
Agrees.
Well, is there more on Amazon, or should we talk about your second?
I mean, there is tons, but I could do a whole call just on Amazon alone.
We'll plan to do that.
Let's do that another time, but that gives you enough of an idea. So just to summarize real quick, reviews, discussions, your keyword phrases, your book description, your Amazon Author Central profile. I won't even touch that now, but make sure it's full and robust with your blog hooked up and all those things, and that'll help you with Amazon.
Okay. So tip number two.
All right. So number two, this site is Goodreads, and I know I can just feel some people kind of groaning. So with Goodreads, what you want to remember is, as I've said, that selling books is about two things. Of course, having the book written. But once that is accomplished, it's about the relationships you build with people, meaning your readers, your ideal customers. And, of course, those who choose to lay down some – sorry, the rooster got all singy all of a sudden. He's just agreeing with me like crazy. But so it's really that they decide to lay down a few bucks to buy your book because they like it or you provided them value. You know, whether you write fiction or nonfiction or whatever, it's still the same type of thing. Goodreads is kind of like a coffee house. So when I lived in Denver, we had some kind of old-timey, old-style coffee houses where, yeah, there would be coffee and stuff, but people would go and have these just interesting conversations. There would be a cluster of people here and a cluster of people there. Some would be talking really deep philosophy and whatever, whatever. So it's a little bit like that. It's a very good place to connect with your ideal readers. And so When you think about participating in Goodreads, there's two aspects. One is signing up on Goodreads first as a reader to get your account situated. And then I would mention a couple of books that you've read or what you're reading now and just kind of get a little bit familiar. And then sign up as an author, which is free, to sign up as a Goodreads author. And you will have a different URL. And that's the one that you want to give out to people once you have that author page done there, because That's where people will connect with your calendar of events, your blog, your reviews, all those other things that you do as an author. And you can put up samples and all of that. But the biggest thing isn't just having up the profile and hooking your blog in and walking away from it, going, okay, got my Goodreads profile, I'm done. But it's finding two or three groups, not 1,500, not spending all day doing it, but finding two or three groups where you are willing to bop in for a couple of minutes a day, 5 minutes a day to Goodreads and go, okay, I'm reading this, I've progressed this far in that book, I'll pop into one or two groups, maybe answer a question, participate in a little bit of conversation. Just a little. You don't have to spend an hour. You don't have to get sucked into the vortex, because you could. There's all kinds of really interesting discussions, and I see some of the things, and I go, oh, boy, if I didn't watch myself, if I didn't keep my particular social media diet plan, I could spend half the day doing this instead of writing because it's interesting. There's people, they're cool, lively discussions and whatever. So it's a little bit about schooling yourself to just give it a few minutes, pick two or three groups where your ideal customers are. So if you're writing historical romances or if you're writing vegan cookbooks or something like that, you find where your people are, or you find them based on similar books. People who like my book are also likely to have read whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you maybe can connect around those particular books, because if they like that book, they would be inclined to like your work as well. And so I will go through the social media diet later, as I had promised you, Anne, that mm-hmm. you were asking about this, and I will. But just to give that is really, when you're dealing with Goodreads, to absolutely keep that in mind so that you don't get stuck in the vortex, because what tends to happen with a lot of folks is they go, yeah, well, I go into Facebook, I swear I'm only going to stay for 5 minutes, and an hour later, I'm liking pictures of string beans, casserole or something, and people's cats, and I've got nothing done.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, yes, that can happen. This is why you have to have some discipline, but it is a very useful place to connect because of the fact that the people who come there are readers, and when you find those, it's really gathering with those who like the same stuff that you are writing.
Mm-hmm. And I know there's a relatively new discussion group there that's just for boomer authors. So
there is. I haven't been there too much, but I found that the other day, and I wasn't able to get in. But, yes, there really is. And so for everyone who's an NABBW member, I say we all just kind of go and, you know, not take over, but really go and participate in that particular group, because that's where many of your people are. And I also just want to mention, don't only think about boomers. I mean, that may be your audience, and that's fine. But remember that if you're writing a book that has to do with France, then people who like to travel to France might also be interested in your book, people who enjoy traveling. So
mm-hmm.
just kind of keep that in mind.
All right, good. All right. I know that in private discussions that you and I have had, you've talked about something that I am not at all familiar with, which is Social Buzz Club. Is that one of your other?
Yes.
All right.
That's my next one. So Social Buzz Club is a really good time saver. And see, for me, social media isn't about being stuck in the vortex. Social media is about making quality connections that I can then take off book, off page, off computer.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that you want to remember as an author is that selling more books isn't only about connecting with the little guys and gals one at a time. It's partly that, sure, nice connecting with readers. But it's also finding those centers of influence, right? And so if you can reach out to somebody who has an audience of several thousand people or several hundred thousand people or whatever, and you can then share some of your knowledge or whatever it is that you're doing, even if it's fiction, guys, it's still the same principle, and you share that with them and connect with them, they will help you market your book. So connecting with a few spheres of influence is going to be like connecting to 10 versus 1,000. It's a big, big, big exponential difference.
Mm-hmm.
Social Buzz Club isn't necessarily going to only by itself get you those spheres of influence, but what it's doing is it's causing other people who may not know you to help evangelize your message. So I'm sorry, what was her name that had the blog, the question earlier?
That was Marcia.
Marcia, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember her name. I apologize. So for Marcia, who I know says that she writes blog posts,
mm-hmm.
and for others who do, Social Buzz Club is ideal for you. And I'll tell you, you get it at asktsl.com/buzz. Ask T like the, S like story, L like lady.com/buzz. There's a free level, and at the free level, it's like a community of people who agree to share each other's stuff. So you go and you look based on in areas of interest and based on keywords or whatever, the things that you're interested in sharing with your readers. So you think, okay, well, if I write about maybe my heroine in my story grows roses, and so I want to find things about flowers or plants, and I'd love, because my community would love to see more stories about plants. you go and you would look up plants or flowers or whatever in Social Buzz Club, and you'll see that other bloggers have blogged about those things, and then you share them with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Each, they're always a little bit different, and you'll see that, but you get points. And once you have a few points for sharing other people's stuff, you get the privilege to share some of your stuff. And you set it up in such a way that when somebody tweets out your blog post about your whatever lady in the rose garden or whatever it is, that it then is hooked up to your Twitter, so it says at your name, has this great such and such about whatever. And you can then respond, and you find by doing that, you go, wow, now that person, if they didn't want to find this interesting, they wouldn't have shared my stuff. So, hey, let me connect with them. So now you have someone new to connect with in the social network on Social Buzz Club. They could be just that sphere of influence. Imagine getting on a call with them to do an interview or to create an info product or something of that nature. So, you know, just kind of getting you to think a little bit entrepreneurial, I think, a little bit differently. When you connect with people who don't know you, then they're going to have a whole other set of people to reach that you wouldn't have otherwise had. And so then it expands your reach. So It's one reason why I'm so fond of the Social Buzz Club.
Okay. And that was at asktsl.com/buzz, right?
That's right. Social Buzz Club. Yep. And then if you, there's a free level, and I spent 3 months at the free level because I wanted to test if it brought me any results. And what I find is that it increased my website traffic by about 20% to when I was doing things actively. I would test, do it for a while, then not do it, and I would see the rise and fall. So it does have a really good effect on the traffic. I also found that I started to make some good connections with people who are then interested in what I'm doing, or I'm interested in what they're doing, and so that can become other profit centers and other things. So it's really, really very useful and something I recommend everyone do. At the $10 a month level, you have a Facebook page. You can just make things a bit easier by being able to post directly to your page when you want to. So that's a really good thing.
All right. So
The fourth site that you can do is, it's more an idea, but there's one site I can recommend in particular. That is guest blogging. So, you know, and what sometimes happens, especially among fiction writers, I see this, is writers start writing writers' blogs to talk to writers about writing, and writers in writing, and it becomes this incestuous loop, if you'll excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're actually blogging about the things that your books are about and the things that your readers care about, not necessarily about the writing process, so, you know, whatever, but you have expertise. If you're a fiction writer, and you have something about roses or about cats or about boomers or about traveling or herbology, whatever it is that you may be covering in your books, you probably have a lot of knowledge about this. So imagine if you write an article that becomes a guest blog post for another community, and again, we're back to leverage.
Uh-huh.
And there is a site that's called guest.com. One of my favorite places. You can find, you can both post your articles, and you put them up almost like for bid in a way. There's no fees or anything. It's free. But you put it up, and people can say, I would like to publish your story to my blog. And then you can look at their blog, and you can say, yeah, I'll take you, or no, not so much. Maybe this isn't the best fit. So you get to say yes or no. And I have had some authors approach me, and in fact, I just published one today purely because it interested me about five scientific things that were in science fiction classic tales that actually have become true. And I thought, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. I've been a sci-fi reader since I was a kid. I mean, I cut my teeth on Jules Verne and stuff as far as writing. So that was just really cool. So I published that. It also means I don't have to do all the heavy lifting of writing. I can find somebody else's stuff and say, hey, I found a great guest post about blah, 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 and I want you to watch for da-da-da. Here's the post. You know, you put their post in, and you come back at the end, and you can say something about their insights or whatever to share with your community. Then if you have a call to action, like, you know, my my books are all about this topic, and one of them is Such and Such, which talks about whatever, and you can put a link to one of your books or another resource that you have. So guest blogging and accepting guest blog posts from other people is really great. And one thing I adore about My Blog Guest, if you have a WordPress blog, there's actually a plugin from My Blog Guest. So things go right into your dashboard, and you can say yes, you can inform them when they've been published, you can give a thumbs up to the author of the post who you published, and all kinds of cool things. You can look for posts. So you're looking for something to write about. Use that, and I sometimes just use it as inspiration, like a starting point. So here's their post, and now I have three more thoughts for you, and here they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great way to get leverage because, number one, you don't have to do as much work with the writing of blog posts because you should be writing books, stories, whatever you write. That's what you really mm-hmm. should be writing. No, not spending too much time. Blogging is important to a point, but you can't spend your entire life writing blog posts and not writing what you're really here to write.
Mm-hmm.
So this really gives you a great shortcut, and it's a lot of fun, and it is free. So you cannot beat free. You cannot beat that. It's really good. They have a paid level, but I wouldn't even bother with it unless you're one of those that has blogs in 35 niches or something, you know, which I don't do. So the free level is all you need.
All right. Well, is there one more site that will simplify our lives?
This is really cool. This is a way that the site I'm going to mention, you know, if you're a nonfiction author, you'll get this right away. But even as a fiction author or poetry author, if you decide to do something with this particular site that I am about to name, then you will be able to bring in additional income, even if you're a fiction writer or a poetry writer, that's based on the knowledge that you share, either from stuff that's in your books or stuff that you know from the other parts of your life. It is a place where you can create a course, an online workshop class type of thing, using all of this website systems. You can put up audios, videos, PDFs. You can teach live, all kinds of things. And you get 70% of the take, and they get 30%, but it's all on their site. So if you don't have, even if you don't have your own website, even if you don't have like a shopping cart and system and all those fancy schmancy bells and whistles like I have, that's okay because you can use their system and get paid 70%.
Mm-hmm.
So I, for example, reached out to an elderly fiction author who has written over 500 books, and he has a course on writing, and I said, Jory Sherman is his name, and I said, Jory, it's an absolute sin that this stuff isn't available for people, that you'd have to be able to take a live course from you to get it. Will you let me put this on Udemy, and we'll share in the take? And I did that. I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So the site is Udemy, Udemy.com, like Academy with, you know, you, Udemy.com. There are both free courses and courses that you can pay for. So go there, they have a free intro type of course, take a couple of free courses, you know, buy a course if you want to see what it's like. But you can be putting up your own material. It does go through their standards of approval, and they have to make sure that it really does teach people stuff, that it's not just fluff and garbage. So the nice thing about it, too, is that it protects the Udemy family or community from the, like, the shystery things that can happen where somebody charges $1,000 for a course that's crap because
mm-hmm.
they allow it to pass otherwise. And then you can get paid for them. You can set the price. And like I say, you get 70%. So think about that leverage where now you don't only have to depend on book sales alone to pay the light bill or whatever, or pay your cell phone bill. Now you can say, hey, even if I write fantasy novels, I have expertise in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could turn that into courses. I could do maybe a couple of free ones to introduce people to my world. I could talk about my books and other things I'm doing in there. And I could also sell courses and get money for them and not have to host the website and not have to have the shopping cart system and not have to worry about all the transactions, just collect the money as it comes in, teach the course, put up the stuff, you know, whatever, and it's done. So I think that is one of the most brilliant things that any fiction author or poetry author in particular could do, because a lot of fiction authors whine to me, well, I write fiction. If I wrote a how-to book, it would be so much easier. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Level playing field is all in where you choose to see that, yes, there is this great opportunity to be rewarded for being of service.
All right.
So those are the five time-saving sites. It's using Amazon wisely, using Goodreads wisely. Social Buzz Club helps you expand your reach and more centers of influence, right? Okay, and the Udemy site where you can actually be able to put up a course, and then guest blogging with sites like My Blog Guest. Those things will help you to make better use of your time, because chasing one book sale after another, it's like chasing dimes around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you do that? It's just not productive. So this helps you not be chasing dimes around.
Excellent. Well, I've got one more question for you, and then I think that I'm going to open it up and let our listeners ask you some questions.
Yep.
So my question before I open the call would be, you've talked to me in the past about the concept of selling more books by giving them away, which sounds like not logic. But you've explained it to me, and I know the logic now. But it might not be something that everybody else understands. So could you talk a little bit about how authors can actually sell more books by giving books away?
Yes, I can and I will. And I'll tell you, print books or e-books, this will work for. I'll give you a brief how-to on that in a minute. But let me just say that one of my books is called The Peace Seed. It's available on Amazon. It's 99 cents, so it's not like it's a humongous investment for someone to buy. But I did I became a best-selling author of it kind of by accident with a paid version on a Halloween day of a couple of years ago. And then I decided Amazon came out with this wonderful Amazon program where you can give your books away for up to 5 days during a 90-day period, Amazon Select. So I did a giveaway, and what I noticed was that, I had several hundred downloads of the book in the day that I gave it away, but I also then afterwards saw a spike in my sales rank and in actual sales of the print copy of the book. That was just because of doing a free giveaway. It also means that I have seeded my book with an opportunity for people to find me, to get receive a gift from my website and those kinds of things. So it gives people an opportunity to get to know me and to buy other things from me. So now that I have more than one book on Amazon, I had only two at that time when I first did The Peace Seed and I'll Push You Here. Now I have several more. Every time I give a book away for 1 day or up to 5 days, I notice that people will buy other stuff. And so one thing you can do that's really wise, especially if you're publishing through Kindle, inside of my new book called A Tasty Morsel, which you'll find free tomorrow, Friday, the March 29th, 2013, it'll be free on Amazon. It is a humorous, paranormal romance novella. I gave in that book a sample of my other book, When Assassins and Allies Conspire, which you mentioned. I gave them a sample of a similar story from that book.
Okay.
And I am quite sure, I just put Morsel out this week, so it's brand new. It doesn't have a huge track record. I cannot wait to see. I'm going to be tracking the sales results of that book and my other things. And it's just really fun to see. So I have seeded that book with a piece of my other book that's similar. And even inside the Peace Seed, when I first did it, I didn't hardly know what I was doing. I mean, I put the PDF up, but, you know, now it has a clickable table of contents and it has a sample story and all kinds of other fun things that are in there. So I expanded upon the original by putting something from my other book inside of it. So between that and just the mere fact, if they read what you like and it's free, now they're going to go, oh, well, I really like that romance that I read from him or her or whatever. Now let me go see what else. What else has she written? I want to read something else. So that's how giving something away, it lets them sample a new author without doing the big scary thing of plunking down a credit card to do it, right? So it really releases that barrier.
Well, that's great, and I would encourage all of our listeners to download that new book of yours, Rhonda, when it's free tomorrow. I started reading it today, and I'm about 20 pages into it, I think. I've got a ways to go. It's longer than 20 pages, even though you say it's a novella. It's not like a 5-page thing or anything. It's a significant.
Oh, no, yeah, novella means fairly long, longer short story, but too short for a novel. It's that in between place.
Right. But yeah. It's exciting that you're giving it away free tomorrow, and I hope that all of our listeners will. All they have to do is go to your page on Amazon in order to find it tomorrow.
Yeah. You can put a tasty morsel in Amazon, or you can just look at any of my social media pages. Naturally, it'll be heavily promoted on those as well. And that just does bring me to one thing I'll mention in passing. When you're promoting your books in Facebook and other places, the big news is not just, hey, my book's free today, but give people a sense of what it's like, a teaser of what it's about, maybe a short excerpt or something, or where they can read. Like, I have an excerpt on Goodreads, so I can say, hey, this is a story about blah, blah, blah. Go here on Goodreads. You can read an excerpt.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are not sure, even if it's free, they still kind of go, maybe I don't know this person. What, do I want to read this or not? Now they can read an excerpt and see, is this story for me or not? So that can be really fun. Also, with Goodreads, for example, you can give away a hard copy of your book, a physical copy, in other words, not just ebooks, in other words. And so that is something available to authors that you might want to explore. And people can, over a period of time, you know, people who want it, raise their hand, so to speak, and say, yes, I would like to have this book. And the system will randomly draw them. So that can also be a good way to get yourself known and to get some books out. And even if you have just a Kindle book, nothing's saying that you couldn't just have a few copies printed up using CreateSpace and make a physical copy for that if you wanted to. So just keep those in mind. By giving them away, people then can taste more of what you do and will want to come back for more, assuming you're a good writer.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I see that our time is flying by, as it always does. We've got a little bit more than 15 minutes left if we're going to stay on time. So
yeah,
I have opened the lines up, and I am going to invite our listeners to take the chance to ask a few questions individually that you can answer here right on the call. So don't be shy, audience. I see we've got lots of guests, so who wants to be first?
Oh, I will.
Okay, great.
This is Chiwa, and I was wondering if you could say something more about the WordPress plugin that you mentioned.
Yeah, if you go sign up at myblogguest.com, then you can I don't remember if I got it from there or just directly from WordPress, but you want to sign up with them because then you're actually a member, because otherwise they won't be able to feed you the stories. And then right inside of your WordPress dashboard, it will say things like, oh, congratulations, so-and-so has accepted your offer of a story, or, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff. So you'll be able to go and save it right as a draft into your WordPress, your blog, and then you go through it, you make whatever changes. So usually I curate it, meaning I put something at the beginning, I use that like the middle of the Oreo, and then I say something at the end, so that it's a guest post, but it has some kind of stuff for me in there as well. So I use it a little bit like that instead of just a straight guest post most of the time, except today I didn't do that. But so that's really nice, and it is free, and it's great, Chiwa. I've gotten lots of great stories. I've published, I think, 4 of them that way.
So do you have to add it as a website or something like that?
You just edit like you would edit any other blog post.
Okay. No,
goes right
do you add the plug-in?
Go
to your plugins and add a new plug-in? Okay.
Yeah, you add the plug-in first. Go to My Blog Guest and sign up, and you'll be able to see all about it there. And you'll add the plug-in, and once you do, it'll show you, you know, if somebody suggests a story to you, it'll say, hey, here's a story. You can review it, and if you want it, you can say, save to my draft. And then My Blog Guest gets kind of, you know, told, hey, she's going to publish this story. And then you can do it. It's so easy, Chiwa, and it's just great. And I'm so excited that you came to the call tonight.
So am I.
All right. Thanks, Chiwa. Who else has a question? Well, I don't like dead air.
I don't either. Let me mention some news what I had promised to do, and then when I was talking Goodreads, I forgot all about it because I've been trying to talk fast and give as much value, and you know. I just got an email from Goodreads today, which all of you who are a part of it probably got it too. But the big news is that Amazon is now actually hooked up with Goodreads. Initially they were, and then Amazon said, oh no, well, we think you're like stealing our database, so we don't like that. But now they've got it worked around to where now it's going to make it so much easier for all of us, especially the self-publishing authors, because now it'll be so much easier to port everything right across from Amazon. It will be a little happy marriage instead of an uneasy semi-alliance.
Okay.
So that's going to be really good for the self-publishing authors.
And do they need to go to Amazon to find out about? No, they don't really need to go to Amazon.
No, they don't really need to do much of anything different. It's just
is
happening.
An alliance is being set up.
Yeah, and so it's not really going to change anything per se. It's just going to be that now this is available to you, and it'll make life easier for you. So it's just a nice thing. You don't actually have to do anything.
Okay. Who else has a question? Yes?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. It's Julianne. Hi, Rhonda.
In the house.
I wanted to ask, when you were talking about blog tips, is that J-E-T-S?
No, I said my blog, guest.
Oh, guest. Okay, got it. I didn't hear that clearly. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I was a little bit late. I came in when you were talking about commenting, and that was fascinating. I've never heard anything like that before.
Reviews. Yeah. Look at any book on Amazon, and when you see customer reviews, down below the review, there's a thing is, was this review helpful, yes or no? But then there's also a link that says comment. And so if you find something useful or not, or like one time I said, to a person that they had misunderstood whatever it was, and it was able to share that information. So mm-hmm. It's really very handy, and it's like, wow, it's a whole new world opened up when I realized that. Commenting on reviews on Amazon, who would have thought?
I never noticed that either. That's fascinating. So you can actually create controversy or buzz or just interest in your own work.
Yeah. It was so bizarre when I would get these emails saying, so-and-so commented on your review of Make a Killing on Kindle or whatever, and I went, what? What do you mean they commented on my review? That was just weird.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've never had a clue about that. I never noticed. And it just seems like a really wonderful opportunity. I'm excited about it.
By the way, Lynn is the winner of the book. Lynn Schneider is the winner of the Tea Seed. So I'm going to send you an email and get your mailing address.
Okay.
Lynn, and then we'll get you your book.
Excellent. Well, that was nice that you had that contest for people that were on the call early. So I appreciate that. Let's see. Who else has a question?
Hi, Anne. This is Deborah Wingfield. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Deborah. Darling. That's like a family night. I love this.
Yes. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you and lots of great information. I've been buried in writing my next book. But I have a question about Udemy because of the kind of courses that I do teach, and I record all of those that I'm teaching. How long are those courses normally? Because I want to make sure that I don't, like, overwhelm people because I can talk for hours.
Well, it varies, Lynn. I just wrote Lynn an email. Deborah, sorry. That's what I get for doing that while I'm talking to you. Deborah, it varies. And so what you'll want to do is just take a few minutes to see what other people are doing that is similar. Not saying you got to spend hours or buy courses or whatever, but just get an idea. They do like for 60% of the content to be video. I don't know how efficient they are on that, but you can. They're very friendly. If you ever have a question, you just talk to one of them. They'll call you. They'll walk you through it. They'll help you, whatever. So it really varies. And so some of the courses are like $27. Last a couple of hours, and then some of them are like $200 classes, and they have 18 modules and whatever. So you can probably be as simplistic or complex as you would like. But it is a nice platform. I am in the midst of putting up some courses. I don't have anything live there yet. I've been finishing up a couple other projects, but it's very well worth looking at, especially when you want to share that expertise. And I believe that they have like 50,000, 30,000 blog visitors a month, or 50,000 or something, a whole bunch of them. So it can be a good way to put yourself out in front of a lot of people.
Okay, well, I can see it reaching out to a lot of women who've been in domestic violence relationships and who can't
Deborah, if I were you, I would do a free something or other first with the Udemy to build your list and to build your reputation. I'm not even going to have a reputation, but I mean among those other audiences where you may not have been as well known, and then do something that's paid, get some feedback. But if just to do a short free one, not a big long thing that takes you a lot of time, but do something that will be of value, that's really simplistic, help women get started. And I bet you will have gazoodles of people join that course because there are so many women crying for help that need you desperately.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Now, is that U, the letter U, and then D-E-M-Y, like the end of academy?
Yes.
That's right. Okay. U-D-E-M-Y. Yep. Okay. And you can sign up for free as like as a student, take a free course or two to get the feel of it. It is just pretty cool. And, you know, of course, I have my own programs as in my own stuff and whatever, but I'm still going to put some things up there because I see it as a way to reach into an untapped audience for me of people who may not have ever found me, and where I can put something up and have it be one and done and just keep doing like a once a month additional free 30-minute talk or, you know, Q&A session or something and still keep adding value to it without spending a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we have a question from our book winner, Lynn. She says, is that my blog guest, is that a plug-in for WordPress or is it just WordPress.net?
It is. Just go to myblogguest.com. You don't even have to have the plug-in. I just have a self-hosted blog, and I'm excited that they do. So go to my blog guest first. Like I said before, go to my blog guest, get signed up, and they will tell you how to get it all hooked up. You'll see the instructions and everything there. You need to sign up first on my blog guest because otherwise you're not part of their community. So just make sure you do that first. I just find the plug-in is handy, but you could do copy and paste just like you would if you were using an eZine article or something. That's okay too. But if you do have a blog and want the plug-in, it's available.
All right.
And with that, with my blog guest, I didn't really understand, do you get a resource box if somebody takes a post of yours as a guest blog to put onto their site? Is there a resource box at the end of it, or how do you, that work?
You just write whatever you want, and they basically take it as it is. I've occasionally done some light editing, and I will tell you, most people don't know a tenth of what you do about keywords and all that sort of thing, Chiwa. So it should help you rank really well with your articles because you have that understanding. But you just put whatever you want. They will put at the end, make sure there is a resource box or a resource paragraph that talks about what it is that you do and where people can find you. And that just rides along with the article. If you just go do it, you'll understand. Rather than ask me, sign up at do it, and then your questions will be answered in the doing because it's really very simple.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just reading over my notes today from classes that we're in together, and I thought, oh, Rhonda recommended that I go and do this, and so I made a special note of it to do it, and then here you are mentioning it again.
There you go.
That really means it, Sheila.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is really helpful, right?
Excellent. I want to keep moving here because I know we've got more questions. I've got one coming in from the website, which is from Marcia Roberts, and she says, how do you go about having specific Amazon rankings instead of just the overall sales ranking? How do you get it to list the specific category for your book in the rankings?
So when you see, you know, the book is number blah, blah, blah in all books, and then below it, it says like number 13 in gardening or whatever, that kind of stuff. That means when you see that, like anywhere above number 100 in a certain category, it will automatically show up. What that means for you is that you want to select categories that have moderate competition. In other words, don't try to go up against whatever the best-known books. If like Think and Grow Rich is number one in that category, that's a bad category for you because you will never beat that, right? Never, never, ever, ever. Yeah. Right. So find something where there isn't as much competition. But when you're in the top 100 of a category, it'll say number 100 or number 3 or number 17 or whatever in such and such category. When you hit number 10 or above in any category, you are a best-selling author, even if you're not number 10 or whatever overall. But if you're number 10 or better in a category, you're still a best-selling author. You can then leverage that with your local media, and there's all kinds of sites. My gosh, if I were to just, I just need to do a course on leverage for authors. That should be my next month's course. Because all these things I just don't have time to share with you that are a lot of things that will help make it easier. You want to make the work lighter, not heavier.
Excellent. I know that we're getting close to the end of our time, but we're having such a good discussion here. I've put a little bit of extra time on the call, so if people stay with us, we can go a little bit longer than that.
I will say, I booked it out as with my folks as an hour and a half because I know how this goes, and I've been trying to talk really fast and get a lot of great value in, and I love the questions. But, you know what, Anne, I did promise something since you extended the call anyway. I promised to share a social media diet with people, and we didn't get to that. Would it be okay if I go ahead and do that?
Oh,
now?
Go ahead and do that. Yes, I meant to include a note for myself to tell you, ask about that, but I slipped my mind.
Right.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, because I know we got, and I love the conversation and the questions. So, guys, keep them coming, or if you're on the phone line, just hold it for a minute. But I want to share this because here is the thing with social media that people complain about. Is that getting sucked into the black hole like Facebook? You go in to just do two things, and an hour later, you know, your butt is sore, and you come up going, wait a minute, I didn't get any work done. So there is a way to discipline yourself, and what I'll share with you first that this works, and that this what I'm going to share to you is a good way to do it, that the proof is in the pudding, as they say, because my measures of engagement score are really very good. With Twitter grader, I'm rated at 100%, which you don't get better than 100. And in cloud, last I looked, I was 57. The average is 20. So I'm certainly not, you know, a guru of the universe or like the Dalai Lama or something, but I'm certainly not the average bear either. So the thing you want to do with social media, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you are, first of all, go hang out where your people are. And that's where you want to put the better part of your time in the social networks. For me, Twitter, I'm in there just a little. I don't get much from Twitter. My people aren't so much there. I do it a little bit, but not that much. You know, Facebook, LinkedIn, other places are more where people are that I'm hanging out with. The second thing is to realize that there are a couple of types of interaction. One of them is just the blast and push interaction. I'm pushing my link, 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 link. And sometimes people just barf out their links. My book is out. Blech. My book is free today. Blech. And just pop a link, and there's no conversation and many times no value. So if you are going to push a link to your stuff, it's okay, but add some value to it, and then it will not feel as if you're coming into the party and tapping someone on and go, hey, I got a good deal for you. Right? That would be really obnoxious at a party. You'd be like, yeah, go away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing to remember. When you're pushing out a link, it's okay if you do it with value. Think about like a 1-in-3 ratio. If you want to do 1-in-3 times to push a link of yours, it's fine. The another time, 1-in-3 times, share something else that's useful. It could be an inspirational quote or a story, a link, someone else's blog post. If you're doing Social Buzz Club, this part happens automatically because you're sharing other people's blog posts. you find stuff that's valuable to your audience. You say, hey, I found this great article about blah, blah, blah. Here it is. So that's good. You sharing other people's stuff means I'm not only in it for me, I'm sharing. And then, but it's not just that. It's not just I'm sharing other links and now I'm putting out my link. But there's also conversation. So 1 in 3, reply back to somebody. So I may go through Facebook. I look for something or Twitter or whatever. I may look for an inspirational quote or something good to share, good stuff, good nourishment. And then I will go through and I'll see, is there somebody I know, maybe their wife's in the hospital or they just put their book out and I can reply back and get some conversation going. And then I'll share a link of mine. And I make sure that the first thing I do every time I go in is not barf out a link. I make sure that the first thing I do is either talk to back to someone else conversationally or share somebody else's good stuff with my community. So that keeps my social engagement really good. And when you keep yourself to a 5-minute time limit per network or per site, that means you can be in and out efficiently. And you may have to set a timer initially to keep yourself to that social media diet.
Mm-hmm. Do you set a timer, or did you ever? I know you're so efficient about everything that you get done. I have no idea how you get everything done that you do.
So. I do. Sometimes I don't always set a timer, but I do sometimes look at the time when I'm starting, and if I feel myself starting to take too long, I just get off of it and go back in. I also only do this twice a day because I don't just like every hour run back and look at Facebook unless there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
That really helps if you're not like run in there every single time you get a break. When you every hour you want to stand up and maybe drink water, walk around a little bit, get some movement so that you're not just sitting on your butt all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't take those breaks from work as, oh, instead of working on my work on the computer, I'm going to run around Facebook on the computer, but actually do take a clean break and don't run to the social network every time you're bored or feeling like you need to distract yourself because you don't want to do anything real.
Okay.
And that'll help. Sometimes people's resistance shows up that way. Well, I really need to get this done, but let me just go look over here on Facebook first, and then, you know, an hour later you're still getting nothing done. And that just can be resistance that is showing up. So be aware of that.
Okay. Who else has a question? Well, let's see. I'm looking to see if there's any more that came in over the computer. Nope, I don't see any that we haven't covered from there. So I will find it out. Let's. Oh, one more. Rhonda, this is about your offering a chance for members to read books before it's been published. How can you do something like
that? Part of that closed out, but I think you're asking about seeing a book before it's published. So, yes, I am offering people a chance to that. If you decide, here's one thing I'm doing. And then we're getting a lot of background noise, so can we mute the lines maybe, Anne, for a minute?
Sure, I can do that.
And somebody's typing and somebody's breathing heavy and it's just really stressing.
We're muted Dang. Now.
That's better. We can open them up in a minute. So, yes, I will give you a chance to get one of my books. First of all, I don't have the authoring book quite ready. I'm doing an update of a book. But what you can do is, first of all, you can get a brand new book of mine, which is the humorous paranormal romance called A Tasty Morsel. Friday, you can get it free from Amazon. So if you just go to Amazon and look for A Tasty Morsel, or just look me up and my books will be there. And then you can get that book for free, and that will show you the warped sense of humor that I have. In case you're not already clued in. So that will give you that. Also, if you want to review, there's another book that I'm a co-author in, and if you want to review that book, which is called Mindset Masters, which has articles from 16 different people, if you go to profitablestorytelling.com/review, profitablestorytelling.com/review, you will see at any given time if you go there, you'll see whatever I have available to be reviewed. And you get a free copy of the book in a PDF format. And you also, after 3 days, will get something that I'm actually going to turn in a book. So this is how you'll get something I haven't published yet. I'm actually going to do a book about reviewing, because people who do a lot of reviews want to improve their reviewer rank. And I notice all of a sudden I'm getting all kinds of people asking me to review their books. I have gotten 5 offers this week, and I've turned down 4 of them to review people's books. And I'm thinking, my review ranker is like 3,000 and something, but yet it's good enough that people are reaching out. So I thought, well, let me just put my thoughts together on this. And so you're going to get a free mini book right now of how to write a really good, helpful review, which will help your Amazon reviewer rank. And if you're any kind of an expert, be it fiction or nonfiction author, this is going to help you attract other people who could be your ideal reader and make all kinds of other cool connections. So you will get that. Just go to profitablestorytelling.com/review. There are 2 books. You can actually get Morsel there for free right now, but you can get it free actually into your Kindle app or device tomorrow. So you can get either of those books, and in a couple of days you'll get that, what is becoming a book on reviewing. So it'll be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I will. I've got one more question that's come in, which I will ask. Hey. But I'm going to unmute everyone. So in case anyone else has questions, so everyone is unmuted now. In case anyone else who's still with us would like to ask a question, otherwise I've got one more.
Bring it.
Okay, mine is coming in. Is from. Susan, and she says, is there any way to make book marketing fun?
Yes. You have to decide that it's going to be fun. Whether something is fun or not is largely going to be up to you and your mindset. So if you, it's just like, you know, if you wake up in the morning, you stub your toe and you spill your coffee and you trip over the cat or whatever, you can then go, oh, my day is shot. It's all gone to heck in a handbasket from here. And then every time something that's not ideal happens, you go, see, I knew my day was going to be crap. It started out that way. I spilled my coffee. I tripped over the cat. I stubbed my toe. But if you do all those same things and you go, well, speaking of that, the cat almost did make me trip over her. I was walking by and yelling at me. So, or you can decide, hey, that wasn't maybe my favorite, but I'm so grateful that that happened because it's making me really pay attention, making me be present. And wow, what a gift that is. How awesome. You can decide if you want book marketing to be, oh, what a pain in the I hate book marketing, blah, 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 blah. It's going to continue to be and feel exactly that way for you. What can you do to make it fun? So just ask yourself, what makes book marketing fun for me? And whatever that answer is, go do it. You can do all kinds of fun things. I'll be doing something, reading of Hard Book down at the country store that's near me, and I'm going to just make a party of it. So it can be as fun as you want it to be. Decide that it's part of it, and when you think of the focus of not as so much that it's book marketing, like, oh, I've got to sell crap on it, which a lot of people have a lot of head stuff around, but say, you know what it really is connecting with people who enjoy the stuff that I enjoy writing about. And isn't that fun? Because you people who like the kind of things you enjoy writing about, then you start making friends, you start making connections with people, then you start realizing that this is about people, and this is about doing what you're here to do, and let it be as fun as you can possibly make it. So I hope that helps.
Well, I think that's a great response to end our questions on here this evening, Rhonda. It's been great talking with you. And I thank you for being my guest and for the great discussion on Boomer book marketing tips and shortcuts. And is there anything else that you want to say before I remind everybody how to find you and wrap up the call?
That would be fine, but I did want to mention if folks would like to go a little bit deeper with me, if you don't mind.
No.
If you really like to dive into the social aspect and how to make it really work for you and not let your life be sucked into social media, If you go to profitablestorytelling.com/social, if you're in the web link there, there is actually a link to it right in there. And that is going to get you into Effortless Social Media for Authors. It's just $37, and that will get you all kinds of good things, including the social media diet that we talked about in more detail, all kinds of resources and audio training from me. Also, it gets you into 1 month for included for free of my gold membership, which includes a monthly Q&A live call, plus a chance to ask questions and get help 365 days a year, or at least as long as you're a member, in the special private group. And so, again, that's at profitablestorytelling.com/social. I'm really excited just getting that put together, and I would love to help you out and help you find the way to leverage this and make it simple and fun and not a pain in the butt or arduous or any of those other kinds of nasty things.
Excellent. Excellent. In fact, that was part of what I was going to do in wrapping up, was to remind people that they should go check out your website, which is at www.profitablestorytelling.com. And in case I slurred that, it's P-R-O-F-I-T-A-B-L-E, storytelling.com, all one word. Or you can email her at profitableauthor@gmail.com. So it's been wonderful to have everyone on the call with us this evening for the great questions. And, Rhonda, we thank you for imparting such wonderful wisdom to us about marketing our books. And certainly, if anyone who's listening has a question after we end the call, just go to Rhonda's website, go to that special site that she just told you about, or send her an email. She's very accessible and full of wonderful information. So I hope you'll do that if you've got questions. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. It was great fun, everyone.
It certainly was. Good night.
It was. Thank you.
Great to
hear.
Well.
Bye now. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, everybody. Julianne. Love you all. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.